I'm glad to be in church.
Amen.
Take your Bible and look at the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis is the first book in the Old Testament. First book of the whole Bible. Genesis chapter number 7. Keep your Bible handy. We'll have these verses hopefully on the screen for you if you don't have a Bible. That's one thing. I don't know if we've got any Bibles in the pews there or not. That would be a good thing to invest in. Genesis chapter number 7. And look at verse number 1. It is, like I said, it is on the screen for you. And I'm looking for just one word. And I'm going to preach on that just one word through the whole Bible. And we'll look at it in Genesis chapter number 7 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come, thou, and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." Notice what he told Noah. He said, "Come thou and all thy house into the ark." Let's go to the Lord in word prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray, God, that you'd bless the service today. Bless your word. Bless everything that's accomplished. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Here in Genesis chapter number 7, you'll see where an invitation is given to Noah and his family. And that invitation is to come. Come thou into the ark. Now, I don't know about y'all, but when I was growing up, when I was very, very young, my dad taught me at an early age, when I say come, you better come on. And then he says, if I tell you to jump, y'all know the rest of it, you better say how high you want me to jump. That's just the way it was. And so when Jesus in the Bible says come, he's not asking you to come to where he's not. He's asking you to come where he's at. And the word come is an invitation, and it's used over 2,000 times in the Bible. And when Jesus used that word, it was an invitation to come. It was an invitation to come to a certain place where he was or is. And I give you, for instance, sometimes in the Bible he would say go. And when he would say go, he was telling you to go somewhere he's not. In other words, go you into all the world and preach the gospel and all that kind of thing. But this is a word that is a word of invitation. And the first time it's used is here in Genesis chapter number 7, where he says to Noah, "Come thou and all your family come into the ark." And this is the come of invitation of salvation. This is where we have to start. Salvation is an invitation to come. The ark was a type of salvation. The ark was a type of Jesus Christ. God designed it. God designed salvation. God designed this ark, an ark of safety, an ark of protection for Noah and his family to get in. God designed this particular salvation. Notice, this ark only had one door. There's only one way to heaven. And there was only one way to get into this ark, and it was through the only door that was there. The Bible says over there in chapter 6 and verse number 16, "A window shalt thou make the ark, a cubit, and it shall finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof." There was only one door. The camels used the same door as the tiger. The eagle used the same door as the bobcat. The dog used the same door as the squirrel. Everybody used the same door. It didn't matter where you came from, what color your skin was, what side of the tracks you come from. Everybody used the same door, and there were no exits. There was only one entrance, and once you got in, you was in until God opened the door again. This speaks of when God shuts that door and puts you in the ark of salvation, puts you in that ark of safety. God designed this, and he told Noah, he said, "When you build this," he said, "you pitch it within and without." He said, "You put it, water couldn't come in, water couldn't go out." It was secure when Noah and his family got in there. Noah didn't shut the door. God shut the door. And when God shut the door, he sealed them in. And I got news for you. See if this will help you, anybody. Noah and his family couldn't have jumped out if they wanted to. They was in. Once you make a decision to go in, you're in. And one of these days, in just a few chapters, in Genesis chapter number 8, Eight people get off the ark. Eight in the Bible is the number of new beginning. Eight people get off the ark and start a new beginning, and it don't happen until God opens that door and lets them out. One of these days, ladies and gentlemen, we're all on the ark of salvation. Those of you that have saved and went through the door, Jesus says, I am the door. If any man come in by me, he can come in to that particular way, and I'll save him and secure him. Amen. Stay in your seat. Don't get excited about that. But I'm glad. You say, well, you can't, listen, you can't get there through Muhammad, you can't get there through Buddha, Allah, the Pope, or Mary, anybody else. You get there through one door, and that's through Jesus Christ. He's the door of salvation. Noah acted upon God's command to come into the ark. Whosoever will, it didn't make any difference. Anybody could come into the ark. It was an ark of safety. Let me say this, those outside the ark were destroyed. Those outside the ark were destroyed. We're not happy about it. But if you don't get on the ark and if you don't come, you say, how do you know that Jesus was on the inside? I got news for you. I know he was on the inside because if I was to invite you to my house and you were in my car riding with me and we both pull up to the house at the same time, I go stick the key in the door, open the door and say, go on in. I say, go on in, because I ain't in there yet. I'm outside. But if I was already on the inside and you come to my house and rung the doorbell or knocked on the door, I'd open the door and say, come on in. Why? Because I'm already on the inside. You see, how do you know God was on the inside of the ark? Because he told Noah and his family, come on in. I'm already in here. And so I want you to come because it's safe in here. It's secure in here. And it'll protect you from the storms of life on the outside. Are you on the ark of safety? Are you on the ark of salvation? Well, now let me say, Herbie Hurdman say this, number two. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse number 17, the Bible says this. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Amen. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive it. After you get saved, you come into the ark. Amen. But after you get saved, you need to come out from among them.
Amen.
And be separate. We talked about this Wednesday night when we started the book of Jude. How to be separated, set apart for unto Christ for good works. We talked about that. It says, come out from among them. This come is not an invitation. It is a command. He's not asking you. He's telling you to come out from among them and be separate.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me just say this. I'll say it as plain as I know how. One of the things that hurts our churches the most is when the world can't tell the difference between saved folks and lost folks.
Amen.
When we listen to the same thing, when we talk the same thing, when we say the same stuff, come on now, y'all help me. Don't die on me now. Y'all shouted on the ark, but don't quit on me right here. Because this is all a part about it too. You got to come into the ark of salvation, but once you get in the ark, you got to come out from among them and be separate. Hey, Christian folks ought to look different. They ought to act different. They ought to smell different. Amen. It's a command. It's not out of convenience. It's a command to come out from among. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become brand new. I give you the illustration. I'll give it to you again because we've got people here that wasn't here Wednesday night. The idea is this. I give you the illustration Wednesday night. We start the book of Jude. And I told you about this table. This table over here that was in a bar. And this table has bar stools. And this table right here is cards. Gambling's going on this table. Drinking's going on at this table. All kind of things is going on at this table inside this bar. But the bar owner gets saved. And he sells the whole place. And he says, you know what? I'm not going to sell that table. And I'm going to take that home. And I'm going to put it in my kitchen. He takes that bar stool, those bar stools and that table, and he puts it over here in his kitchen. And now, there's no drinking on this table. There's Bible study going on at this table in the morning. There's prayer meeting going on at this table. And there's praying over your breakfast at this table in the morning. So this table has come out from among them.
Yep.
And now it's been separated, and it's the same table, but now it's for a different use.
Amen.
Once you get saved, you come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. You do different things. He's a new creature in Christ Jesus. Come out from among them and be separate. Come into the ark, that's salvation. Come out is separation. Now, number three, let me hurry to say this. In Mark chapter 1 and verse number 17, the Bible says, "And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." Well, if the come into the ark, that's salvation. Come out from among them and be separate, that's separation. Well, this come is an invitation to come after me, come after Jesus. In other words, he's saying, do what I do. And I will make you to become fishers of men, that's soul winning. One of the greatest things, you know what we were trying our best to do yesterday? Yes, we wanted to have a big activity for everybody that came. Yes, but our ultimate goal was soul, winning souls for the cause of Christ.
Amen.
Enticing people to come to church, not only just so we can fill up empty seats, but we can introduce them to Jesus Christ. Every Christian should be burdened with winning the lost to Jesus Christ. The Bible says there's wisdom in soul winning. The fruit of the righteous is a fruit of truth, and he that winneth souls is wise. There's glory in soul winning. There's urgency in soul winning. Jude over there, we hadn't got to that over there on Wednesday night yet, but this is what it says. And others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire. There's an urgency when we're winning souls for the cause of Christ. Why? Because if we don't win them to Christ, there are people every day dying and going to a devil's hell because they do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. This is a very important invitation to come after and win souls for the cause of Christ. This is what he said, come after me. You know what Jesus did? He fellowshiped with sinners. He went to where they were. Ladies and gentlemen, let me say this. Yes, every now and then we're going to get somebody that just walks in from off the street and comes and visits our church. Every now and then that's going to happen. But you know what our job is to take the church outside these walls and go to where they are. You work with them. Amen. You play ball with them. You do whatever you do, activities you doing with a lost and dying world. And we must learn how to take the church. The church is not four walls and a pulpit and a piano. If this church burnt down in the tornado, too, it's already happened once, so Lord, don't do it again. But if it was to happen, Christ Church Baptist Fellowship will continue next Sunday. If we have to put out folding chairs and sit on this property, just because the building's gone, the church is still here.
Amen.
The church is not inside this wall. We need to take the church, when we say the last amen, here in a few minutes, here in the next hour, hour and a half or so.
Amen.
That woke some of you up. When we say the last amen, we walk out of those doors, we're taking Christ Church Baptist Fellowship with us, and we're going out into the world and say, hey, won't you come? Won't you come? Come unto me. Come into the ark. That's salvation. Come out from among and be separate. That's separation. And then you say, come after me. That is our soul winning. But let me move on to number four. And number four is this. And it's found in Matthew 19 and verse number 21. Jesus said unto them, or into him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. This is, in essence, it is almost like Matthew 16:24, which says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Anytime you follow Christ with an invitation to come, there's going to be sacrifice. We've seen all of these different invitations to come. We've seen one for salvation, one for separation, one for soul winning, and now we're seeing one for sacrifice, and this is where a lot of people check out and go home. When it comes hot and heavy and where it takes blood, sweat, and tears, a lot of people say, well, I'm out on that. Why? Because there's sacrifice involved. The Bible says in Romans 12:1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There is a sacrifice that we must have. When you serve Christ, there's going to be suffering involved. There's going to be, I think the Bible says something like this in Galatians 6:2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. It's going to cost time, it's going to cost money, it's going to cost somebody energy, but the pay is going to be wonderful.
Amen.
Sacrifice. Sacrifice in our teaching, sacrifice in our tithing, sacrifice in our timing. Sacrifice for others. Let me say this. If you were to walk in and I have moved this pulpit by myself. We have sayings, different things. And the pulpit, you can do it, but it's tough. I've had to walk it down those steps, and without it falling and busting into a million pieces. But if I was trying to do that by myself and somebody came in the door, what naturally should happen is, hey, hold on a minute and let me help.
Amen.
Did you know this pulpit gets lighter the more people that's involved?
Amen.
It is heavy for one person. It can be done, but it's very heavy for one person. But you get two people on each end, it's a little lighter. You get three people involved, it's a whole lot lighter.
Amen.
Y'all getting the message?
Amen.
You get four people involved, you get five people, and we move this thing with one hand. It gets real light. You go up under there, you see me trying to crawl up under that piano and get that thing on my back. Why in the world you want to do that, I don't know, but it just, the illustration popped in my head. And if you didn't have two broke ribs or something, you come in, you say, hey, I want to help you. You get up under that thing and say, hey, let me help you. The more people you get under that thing, it becomes lighter. Now, you take that to the spiritual realm. How many times have we seen people under a heavy, heavy load? And they're trying to carry a heavy load by themselves. Spiritually speaking, we look at them and sometimes we say, hey, I got my own burdens to carry. I can't carry nobody else's. And sometimes we bypass people that we can help. But I'm telling you, your burdens become real light the more people you get under there helping. As a church, this is what we are. We are a church family. And when we see people under a heavy burden, what naturally should happen is when we see somebody say, hey, let me help you carry that. Let me help and do a little bit and make it a little lighter for the load. It's called sacrifice. Sacrificing for somebody else. Hey, let me help you. It ain't all about you. It ain't all about me. It ain't all about us. But it is all about Him. And once we make everything about Him, the burdens become real easy to carry. Bear ye one another's burdens. You know, sometimes we go, how many times have I, as a preacher, been into the funeral home? You don't know the weight that somebody is carrying when they're standing up there by their loved one's casket. They are under a heavy load. How are we going to make it another day? How are we going to see? I can't even see myself without this person. I don't know how we're going to make it without this person. And you say, how in the world can I help them? And did you know sometimes just putting your arm around somebody and say, hey, I'm praying for you. I've been right where you're at. I have buried my dad. I've buried myself. I know where you're at. It doesn't take the pain away, but it does lighten the load to know that somebody else has been right where you've been. It is a come and follow me, sacrificing for others. Jesus did it many, many times. Now, let me move on. I got just a few. I got like 10 or 12, 13 more. Number 5. It's found in Matthew 11 and verse number 28. Everybody knows this one. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Jesus said, I will give you rest. This come unto me is an invitation for souls. It is an invitation for comfort. There's an invitation for rest. Ladies and gentlemen, you wouldn't believe the people that are going through. You wouldn't believe the stuff that's even going on in this room right now. People that have come out and left stuff at home or left stuff in the car, and they tried to put it aside to walk into this building and try to have a little church, try to have some Jesus in their life. You wouldn't believe the people that are carrying what they're carrying. And I'm not talking about best, I'm talking about stuff that just people are human and they are under heavy loads. But Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And it's a matter of, you remember that, maybe it's a Wednesday night, a Sunday, I can't remember. But it's almost like taking your burdens and taking them to the Lord. And do you know what? I give this illustration before. And I think I did this one time in all actuality. It was on a Wednesday night, I remember. And I told people, I said, hey, take a 3x5 card. And I said, write your burdens down. Write whatever's on your mind, whatever's on your heart, whatever it is. And I told them, I said, hey, take that. Get a song book. Put it in that song book. And when we pray here in a few minutes, bring that song book. And you lay it right there. Leave it right there on that altar. Everything that's bothering you, leave it right there. And boy, everybody in the whole building come down here. Boy, they left their song book here. And boy, they was down here praying and they was leaving it and casting everything, their cares on him. But you know what they did? We got done. Now I know what most of them were doing. They were saying, hey, somebody's going to have to pick up all these books and put them back. I understand what they're going to do. But listen, hey, in all actuality, that's what we're doing. We bring, we say, Lord, we're leaving this here with you. In Jesus' name, amen. And in the morning, you still got it with you.
That's right. Amen.
He said, come unto me. All of you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest if you'll leave it there. Peter says, casting all of your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now let me give you number 6. It's found in Luke 19 in verse number 5. In Luke 19, verse number 5. Have you remember the story of Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree to see what he could see. You remember that story in Sunday school? It's found in Luke 19 in verse number 5. And Zacchaeus, he's a little bit of tax collector. Worked for the IRS. A little bit of fella. He was a tax collector. Everybody hated him. A little bitty fella. And he heard that Jesus was coming to town. A little bitty fella. And so the only way he could see, the whole town was crowded because they heard Jesus was coming. So what he did, this little fella climbed up into a sycamore tree. And he climbed up in it because he wanted to see Jesus. And Jesus passed by and stopped where the tree was and looked up.
Yeah.
And he's told Zacchaeus, Bible says, Jesus came to the place. Jesus looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. For today I will abide at your house. He looked up. This is the only place in the Bible where the Savior looked up and the sinner looked down. He looked up and said, Zacchaeus, let me tell you what it means in the Greek, all right? Get yourself down here and don't heal a limb on the way down. Make it fast. Because I'm coming to your house. But hey, this is what he told him. Come down. Even though Zacchaeus was a wee little man, a short little man, he was very prideful. Sometimes Jesus says, hey, you need to get down off your horse. You need to get down off your pedestal. You need to come down. Some people are too big for God to use. They're too big. They're very prideful. I remember a story I may have told you. The two preachers, an older preacher and a young preacher. And the young preacher and the old preacher, they were going to preach together at this Bible conference. And boy, I'm telling you what, that young preacher, man, he was really fixing to do it. I'm telling you, he had a sermon that was going to, he was going to be signing Bibles for days after this sermon. I'm talking about signing cards and signing autographs and everything after this sermon. So he had everything was alliterated, everything started with the same letter, everything was good. And I'm telling you, boy, he was fixing to let the crowd have it. He'd come up off of that seat, boy, I'm telling you, he walked up and I'm telling you, and he said, I just want to say, boy, he preached. And it was almost like the sermon just, it went about this far and fell right there. It didn't make it past the communion table. And so he came down disappointed like this. He sat down by the old preacher. They were singing a song in between. He leaned over the old preacher and said, preacher, what happened? He said, man, I had a good sermon. And the old preacher said, well, son, if you'd have walked up there like you walked down from there, you could have walked down from there like you walked up there.
That's
right. He said, you should have walked up there like this. Basically, he said, son, you need to come down. Get out of that tree. Get out of that tree and come down. Sometimes we think God can't do anything without us. But he can. Amen. Hallelujah. You realize this. I got time for it. That's a whole sermon on that keys. I ain't got time for it. I don't want to get sidetracked. All right, come down. Hey, I don't have one more. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 1. It's what Jesus said. After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as of a trumpet talking with me, saying, come up hither. I'll show you things which must be hereafter. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, there's coming a day where the Lord's going to step out on the clouds and say, come up hither. Come up here where I'm at.
Amen.
Stay in your seat, don't get excited, but there's coming a day where the Lord's going to split the eastern sky. The Lord's going to descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:51 says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. I had that verse put over the nursery one time. We should not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Come on, people, that was good. One of the best ones I had. We should not all sleep, but all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, this corrupt will put on incorruption, this mortal will put on immortality. Then shall we brought past the same. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is our victory? One of these days we're here. Come up hither. And we're going to meet the Lord in there.
Amen.
There is a come up hither. And that's when we're going to be satisfied.
Amen.
Satisfied to meet the Savior. There's not a bill that I have that the coming of the Lord won't take care of.
Amen.
There ain't a problem in this world that I got that the rapture of the church won't take care of.
Amen.
You say, why don't the Lord tell us when he's coming? Well, I know why. Because y'all are like me. If I knew when the Lord was coming, about 3 months, I'd build a million-dollar house and buy 3 Cadillacs and never make the first payment on any of them. Y'all know you do it. If he said, I'm coming September the 1st, oh, I'll tell you what, I'd go on a spending spree and leave all the bills to the Jehovah's Witness and the Antichrist. Hallelujah. No, seriousness. Hey, the Lord's coming.
Amen.
Right.
All said the Lord is coming.
Yes.
You said, preacher, you preach that all the time. I know, because why? It's true. He's coming.
Right.
And he's going to say, come up hither. And we're going to meet him in there. Now, you know what the last thing in the Bible says? Is an invitation. Revelation 22, and I'm done. This is the same, and it has, I mean, this is the same one, as the, so it's not another point. But it's what it says. In verse number, this is the last of the Bible. It's almost like the Lord says, here's my last effort, right here. I'm finishing up the book. It's what he says. In verse number 17, Revelation 22, 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. The invitation of the Bible is this. It starts out with, come thou, get on the ark. And it ends with, if you're thirsty, come. If you're hearing what I'm saying, come. Whosoever will, let him come. This whole Bible is a book of invitation. And it's for the world to come to Christ. That's what it's all about.
Amen.
And if you've never, never, never had an opportunity, never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart, maybe some of these other invitations to come out from among them and be separate. Maybe that hit home with you. Maybe come follow me. Maybe the sacrifice, come follow me. All the different ones in the whole Bible that we talked about. Over 2,000 times that word is used. And I just give you just a few of them here this morning. Won't you come? Let's all stand all over the building.